Welcome to Blast the Past, a talk show where we revisit the media that shaped our culture. Tab, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Landry, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
So today we are going to talk, it's episode 6. Today we're talking about The Social Network. This is the newest movie that we've talked about on this show. It was made in 2010, which is wild. It doesn't seem like 15 years ago that I was watching this in the theater.
Oh, you saw it in theaters. I saw it. I've seen it once. I saw it not in theaters. I saw it at home probably within the last 5 years.
So around the time this came out, you know, I was a few years outside of high school, and I was still like very much a David Fincher follower. Like after I saw Fight Club, I was like, man, I gotta watch everything this guy's done. I saw The Game, which is to this day my favorite movie he's made. And you know, this was the first movie I think I saw of his in the theater, so I remember being very excited for it, even though I, you know, wasn't necessarily particularly interested in the content that it was about, and I wasn't disappointed. This movie, if you have not seen it, it follows Mark Zuckerberg during his kind of Harvard era, where he's creating Facebook, and it's a kind of biopic, but it seems to be very okay with dramatizing what actually happened, which most biopics are. But I think this one, even more than others, almost seems to wear its fictionalization of certain things on its sleeve. There's characters that are invented in the story, for instance. But yeah, so it follows him at Harvard during the conceptualization of Facebook and the creation of Facebook. And it turns out that when you have a successful product, a lot of people are going to sue you. And this kind of just follows the different lawsuits from the different people he came across in the early goings of Facebook. And that's basically it. It stars Jesse Eisenberg, Andrew Garfield, Justin Timberlake, and Armie Hammer. Also, some small roles by Rooney Mara and Rashida Jones. And written by Aaron Sorkin, who he's got a lot of great writing credits out there. The West Wing, I think, is what is commonly cited as his like political drama, which I've never watched that, but I do really enjoy the script of this. And then Ben Mezrich's the other writer. I think it's based off his novel, actually. So
you sure Zuck didn't write this? I could have swore Zuckerberg wrote this. He's painted in such a great light. You know, I thought maybe he had at least one credit.
You think he's painted in a good light, or is that a joke?
No. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't believe he signed off. Surely he had to have signed off on this, being the billionaire he did. And man, he doesn't come out necessarily on top of this one.
No.
Okay, so now that we've got the rundown, I think it's time that we get into everyone's favorite segment, Tab's Notes.
Jumping right in. All right. I feel like this part of the show is getting closer and closer to the beginning. You
know? That's right. We're moving it up. Why waste time? With the fluff.
I hear you. So I got a lot to say about The Social Network.
Good. I'm excited about that.
So right from the start, this movie opens up in a bar with Rooney Mara and Jesse Eisenberg. Okay. I really thought Rooney Mara was going to have a larger role in this film. Did not.
Nope. Yeah.
She plays
a pivotal part in the film, but she's not on screen at all, hardly.
She's basically the bun in The Social Network sandwich. She's in the beginning. She's there in the end. Other than that, there's one scene in the middle. So maybe it's like a double decker, like a Big Mac, where there's like that bun in the middle. That's pretty much what Rooney Mara signed up for on this one. And Rooney Mara, of course, from, I don't know, have you ever seen A Ghost Story?
No, I have not.
Oh, man, fantastic film. If you want to see a really interesting take on ghosts, watch A Ghost Story with Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck.
Okay.
Really cool.
I like
movie.
Casey Affleck.
Really cool. Really cool. Really cool.
I think the first thing I saw her in was Fincher's follow-up to this, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
That's also one of the credits I was going to give her. And I'm really bummed that they didn't make that into the trilogy that it was originally. You know, because it was like a remake of like a Swedish film or something, right?
I think a book series. The first book was really good. I didn't like the second book much. And I think maybe the third book I heard wasn't very good either. So maybe it just wasn't worth making.
Well, the first movie they did was really good. I think it was James Bond, right? He was the other guy in that.
Yeah, Daniel Craig. Yep.
Daniel Craig. Yeah. So this movie opens with Rooney Mara and Jesse Eisenberg in a bar having a conversation. And you get right from the start, you get level 10 obnoxious Zuck. Okay.
She says it's like having a conversation with a Stairmaster. Yeah. And right before she said that, I was literally like, it is exhausting listening to this man.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I first watched this movie, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, I didn't really appreciate just how good Eisenberg, he portrayed Zuck, okay? Yeah. Because at that time, I really hadn't heard a lot from Zuck. He was kind of this robotic. That was probably peak robot Zuck. You know, that was a thing for a while.
Yeah, what, isn't he like one of the theorized lizard people?
Oh, if lizard people are real, he's for sure. He's for sure up there. Yeah. And, so they're at a bar. And, you know, it's not a great conversation. You can kind of tell that they're dating. But Rooney Mara is not having it. Zuck is very rude, saying some things that are, you know, could easily be taken as offensive. And she does take offense to it. And basically, she dumps his ass. So,
right
from the start, you know, he's got a girlfriend, Rooney Mara, no longer has a girlfriend, Rooney Mara. Okay. Then we cut to a very nice, like, I enjoyed the opening where you kind of just see the Harvard campus. There's this very, like, tonal music playing.
Yeah.
And very, I really like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very heavy footfalls. Do you know who does the soundtrack of this movie? It's Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. So Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor. I love the soundtrack to this movie. Yeah. It's polarizing. I think there's a lot of people who love it. It was nominated for an Oscar. But I was just talking to someone today about this film. They're like, I hated the score. And I was like, well, you know, I could see that ruining the movie for you because it is very much almost like a character in the film.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I did too.
Yeah, so they got this great shot of the Harvard campus. It kind of goes on for a while. You see various parts of the campus, which me personally, I've never been there. This was a cool shot to see. I really enjoyed it. And then the title card comes up with Harvard Fall 2003. And let me tell you, Facebook first hit my radar 2004, 2005-ish, you know.
I think for me as well. I remember it being in high school, late high school for me.
You know, maybe I'm confusing it with MySpace. Because actually let me correct myself here. I was still big into MySpace in 06.
Okay.
06. So yeah, so Facebook might have been 07, 08, something like that. Okay. But this is obviously, you know, before Facebook was even a thing. You see Zuckerberg in his dorm room writing a very catty blog.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he goes full Rooney Mean Girls.
Mara. He does. He goes. He does not hold back. Zuck unleashes, okay? And he's writing a really catty blog on Zuck on It.
I didn't catch that. That's an incredible
Zuck moment. On It was the name of his blog. You know, obviously, everybody credits Zuckerberg with creating Facebook. People often overlook Zuckit.com. Or zuckonit.com. All right. I mean, this was like, and we got to remember, blogging was a big thing. Like,
no,
100%. Blogging had its day. It's since come and gone. But social media, you know, blogging was a big thing. And even kind of when MySpace was big, blogging was still big. Okay. It wasn't really until like Twitter and stuff like that kind of cut the legs right out of blogging. But yeah. So here we go. He moves on from zuckonit.com. And then you kind of see him and some friends hanging out in his dorm room, and they're going through the Harvard Facebook. Now, I was not aware that the term Facebook pre-existed before Facebook.
No, okay,
apparently it's a term more like a photographic directory,
right,
for schools. So they're basically going from directory to directory, you know, Facebook to Facebook, just hacking any photo they can of hot chicks to try and put them on a website to kind of do like a hot or not, rate the girls, that kind of thing.
Right.
And while that's going on, in comes forever child Andrew Garfield. This guy will always look like a teenager to me.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. I understand that. Yeah, yeah. Him and Zendaya. Those two will never grow up. Like, they'll be 70 years old and we'll be looking at him like, oh, God.
You could tell me, I feel like Zendaya is, like, still, like, 21 years old, though, isn't she? I don't know. Maybe she's not. Maybe she's been that way forever.
She always looks 15 to me. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, her and Andrew Garfield both just look like teenagers. No, they will never grow up. So in comes Andrew Garfield, a.k.a. Eduardo Severin. Okay? Just a little story here. Eduardo has become quite successful for himself, if you're not aware. Okay,
right.
He is a Jewish Brazilian. He's an entrepreneur and angel investor. This is currently right now. I believe he's about 43 years old. He's currently the wealthiest person in Brazil with $32.2 billion. So he's done quite well.
I wonder what, now I'm really wondering what that undisclosed settlement was at the end of the film.
Exactly. Okay, we'll get to that. So basically, this taking the girls' photos and putting them on there is facesmash.com.
Yep.
And that crashes the Harvard network. They wake up some poor guy at 4 o'clock in the morning and just trying to get some sleep. He has to go down, and I guess they like pull the plug on facesmash.com because he crashed the site, right? Okay. Now we come to our first deposition.
Yeah, we flash forward. And there's really not a lot of visual, and like, there's no title card or anything. It just jumps. And I don't know how Fincher did this, but I was never confused or lost. Like, I knew what was going on.
I thought this movie was perfectly written, perfectly paced. It's a 2-hour movie. You can sit down and watch the whole 2 hours. You're not going to have to get up. Like, it is, it gives you a lot of information, but it does it in a way that you can easily digest it.
Yeah. Every single scene is working with something too. Like, there's no dead weight. What was the other movie that we watched that was just like that? Good Will Hunting, I think. Yeah. There's just not a lot of dead space in either of these movies.
Yeah. This movie is 2 hours and it is meat for the entire 2 hours. Like you said, there's other than the opening credits, not really credits, just the opening where you see Harvard's campus. That's the only lull you're going to get in this movie. Like, it is beginning to end action. Okay. It's not an action film, but there's action going on. Okay. Right. So Rashida Jones makes an appearance. Love me some Rashida Jones.
Yeah. Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec. Loved her on Office Space. I know a lot of people didn't, but I loved her on Office Space. Or Office, The Office, not Office Space, The Office.
Oh, yeah. Loved her on The Office.
And then Winklevoss twins make an appearance, okay? Which, these are also two gentlemen that have since gone on to be quite successful. Armie Hammer. I don't want to get into all the nonsense that has since canceled Armie Hammer.
I hadn't heard of this until researching this film, so.
I have always liked Armie Hammer. I think he's a great actor. To this day, I'm still confused by what he did, apparently, to get canceled. He seems to have some sexual fetishes that some people didn't appreciate.
So none of my business. That's all that it'll take.
None of my business, okay? I also heard he was working at a hotel not too long ago. Like, he's fallen that far. He's like a bellhop or something, like front desk guy. Can you imagine going to the front desk and Armie Hammer's there? And you're just like,
you go to IMDb cast for this film. You can't find Armie Hammer on it. You search Armie Hammer and it says like Social Networks is number one. But I was looking at the cast and he's not listed in the top at all.
That is bonkers. He plays two roles.
Yeah, he's literally two people in the film.
He's two people.
I would say he's probably got more screen time than like most of the characters too, other than Zuck.
More than Andrew Garfield, more than JT. It's Zuck and the Winklevoss twin. Let me ask you this. If you play two roles, do you get more money?
That's a great question. Probably not, but maybe.
Robbery. Absolute robbery. All right, so after that, we go to another deposition, and then we go back to Harvard, and Zuck is in class, and he gets a note. You know, one of those, some girl in the first row hands a note to the guy in the second row, hands it to the girl in the third, and it makes its way to Zuck. And Zuck's all excited. He's got himself a note, thinking he's about to get a phone number. Opens it up, and it just says, "You dick." The letter U, then dick. And so he gets butthurt, gets up, storms out of class. Teacher tries to make fun of him. He throws it right back at the teacher by getting the answer correct. Now Zuck is outside the room, and he runs into the Winklevoss twins, okay? And he basically says something along the lines of, like, "You guys are in great shape." And one of them says, "We row crew." Like, man, we're living two different lives.
Right.
I've never in my life been like, man, I really got to go row crew. Like, I just got to row, you know?
Yeah, that is a very, like, I feel like if you row crew, your parents are pulling in, you know, that you live in like a multi-million-dollar home.
For sure. No poor people row crew.
No.
You know, not happening. The only people that can row crew are people who are born with like a sweater wrapped around their neck. Like, you get like the doctor delivers you and you've already got like a sweater. Like, it's like a sweater.
They don't even have swaddle cloths for those kids.
Yeah, no, don't need it. Don't need it. And then we go, you guessed it, right back to for more deposition. But first, actually, before that, Winklevoss twins take Zuck back to their little dwellings in Harvard, which seems to be in some kind of fraternity or some kind of association society. And there we meet Divya Narendra, who is the third person of the Winklevoss twins, Divya trifecta. Okay. These are the guys that basically get screwed the most by Zuck. Okay. And so we meet them. They talk about, you know, the prospects of a Harvard connection. Zuck gets a free sub sandwich out of it. I don't know if you noticed that. Pretty much stuck it in his pocket.
Good for
him. They come up with thefacebook.com. Okay. So now we're back into deposition again. Okay.
And it's important to remember, I don't know if we mentioned this, but the movie moves briskly back between two different depositions, between him and Andrew Garfield's character and then him and the Winklevoss twins. And then the other character you mentioned as well.
Yes. Divya Narendra. Okay. Yes. So at this point, we're back and forth between depositions so much. This movie should just be called The Social Deposition. I mean, it which I enjoy. Like, I really enjoy that part of the movie for the same reason that I really enjoyed watching The Big Short. And I got to see, you know, kind of the parts of Wall Street and investing
Oh
that we
yeah.
don't really get to see. And I kind of got to feel like we got to see, you know,
Yeah, Big Short's a killer movie. Very
I love it.
similar. All dialogue and still action packed, you know.
I would compare this movie a lot to Big Short, except this is one movie, The Social Network, that you could watch once and leave thinking you got it.
Yeah, oh yeah, Big Short's way too convoluted, and actually I think
Crazy.
that's problematic, a problematic part of the film.
You got to watch that two or three times, which is a great movie. It's, would love to watch it two or three times, and I
Yeah, I've seen it
have.
a couple times.
So it's one of those things that you kind of got to watch it a lot. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot of things that can go over your head, okay? So he's in class, and some guy comes up to him and is like, "Hey, is that hot girl in your other class, is she single?" And he's like, "I'm kind of curious." And Zuck has like an epiphany, like, "Oh man, like what if we added relationship status to the Facebook?" So he
Yeah.
runs home, adds the relationship status, and boom, the Facebook.com is alive.
Ready for launch, yeah.
Okay, it is live. This whole time he's been dodging the Winklevoss twins, because he doesn't want. Basically, he's stealing their idea, right?
Basically
So.
ghosting 36 emails, essentially.
36 emails, exactly. They tried all they can do. The Winklevoss twins, I believe, are rowing in like a practice row where it's a
Okay,
pool.
let's talk about this. They row crew. Crew is a team sport. And I think it's really funny how, for so many different shots, there is no teammate. I mean, they have one competition where they finally have teammates, but like you see them on the river, just the two of them. You see them in the gym, but two of them, no coach anywhere to be found. It's just the two of them training constantly, which I find
I mean,
interesting.
I'm not going to pretend like I know a lot about row and crew,
Me neither.
but I can see it being like basketball, where, hey, it's just if you're by yourself and you want to go practice and play, go do it. You know,
Yeah.
dribble the ball, shoot the ball. You know, you don't need four guys out there running plays. So maybe that's what crew's like. Maybe you're just getting yourself in shape of doing the action and getting the
Right.
workout. So Divya breaks the news to the Winklevoss twins that Zuck has cut the legs out from Harvard Connection and he has started his own thing and it's live. So they're pissed off, right? So now we got more deposition. The social deposition keeps on going. And then after that, you guessed it, more deposition. By the way, I actually have to do a deposition here next month. And I
Oh,
don't know
really?
what to expect. So I should probably watch this movie again. If I watch some Social Network again, I probably know all I need to know.
Yeah.
Then they go to a lecture on Harvard's campus. You later find out that Bill Gates was the one doing the lecture. And there's a sighting by Brenda Song makes an appearance, who
Oh yeah.
actually gets pretty good screen time.
She does,
Brenda
yeah.
Song,
She plays the great crazy girlfriend.
Total psycho. Not at first, but eventually. Brenda Song, of course, from The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Okay.
Another
I didn't
twin
know that.
project. Yeah, Suite
Oh,
Life of Zack
she.
and Cody. Twins. Social Network.
I
Winklevoss
knew
twins.
she was on Disney or Nickelodeon growing up, but I didn't know where she came from exactly.
My niece would only watch Disney. And so every time I would go home to visit family, I'd walk in and Disney was playing 24/7. And I've seen Suite Life of Zack and Cody far more than I should. Okay. Let's see. Fun fact about Brenda Song. She's been with Macaulay Culkin in a relationship since 2017.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, 8
Good
years.
for
Come
them.
on. Come on,
That's
Kevin. Put a ring on it. I mean, come on.
a healthy Hollywood relationship right there.
Yeah, 8 years. Eduardo now discovers that the Winklevoss twins have filed a lawsuit. Okay. There's more deposition. It gets heated. Eduardo starts to schmooze up with Brenda Song. They end up hooking up in a bathroom at some kind of like frat party. And correct me if I'm wrong,
Thought it
I
was a
believe
restaurant.
this restaurant. Okay. Was Zuckerberg also hooking up with the girl like two stalls down?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's what we were led to
Attaboy.
believe.
Attaboy. Actually, it was a restaurant because I'm pretty sure he leaves and that's when he runs into
Rooney Mara.
the middle bun of
Okay.
Rooney Mara's
Yes.
arc, which is she is at dinner with several friends and Zuck's trying to like coerce her to come outside and talk and she is not having it. Very smart, Rooney Mara.
Yes, yeah. Following
Zuck's
your advice
pissed.
from a few episodes.
Not happy at all. At this point, Facebook is now growing. It's expanding to Yale, Columbia, and Stanford. Okay. Winklevoss and Divya are now meeting, and they're saying that Zuck has violated state law, federal law, but most importantly,
Harvard
Harvard
alum.
law. Like, you
This is
know,
incredible.
which is great because if you're found guilty, you go to Harvard jail. which is a very scary place. I'm pretty sure that's where a lot of those immigrants are going that Trump's rounding up, is Harvard jail. So half go to El Salvador, the other half go to the hardened criminals of Harvard.
A lot of books in that prison.
A lot of books, tons of books. Mostly just The Art of the Deal. But 57 minutes in, we get quite the surprise as Justin Finn Timberlake rolls out of bed.
Crushes his role, too.
Rolls out of bed with, what is her name? Dakota Johnson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dakota Johnson. Yeah.
Okay, that was like one of the best title cards for like putting you in a place, because they've been talking about Stanford a lot. And then you finally see that you're in Stanford with that one shot of her. That was funny.
Yeah, so she's wearing a pair of Stanford underwear, and Stanford's just right on the back. So yeah, Justin Timberlake wakes up with Dakota Johnson. It's Justin Timberlake's character. This is Sean Parker, who started Napster.
Okay? Right.
And for those of you kids that don't know...
moment of my life was when I found out about Napster.
We'll say about what, 2000? 99, 2000, 2001?
Yeah. I mean, it would have been 2000 probably that I was using it. 2000, 2001. Then you didn't need a LimeWire because it took its place.
Then your computer was riddled with viruses and you had to throw it out.
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, Napster, you still listen to music on CDs or on the radio. It's pretty much the only way you were going to hear it, right? Unless you wanted to throw in a cassette tape or, you know, Betamax or something. Not Betamax, 8-track.
8-track, yeah.
I still have a box of 8-tracks somewhere. I never listened to them. I just bought them from a friend. He was moving a thing in like $4 for 100.
Oh, wow.
8-tracks.
I've never listened to an 8-track before. Yeah. Tapes, yes. CDs, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, but I grew up with cassettes. I transitioned to CDs, and then Napster came along. And Napster was ahead of its time. The problem with Napster was we were all still on 56K for the most part. And if you wanted to download a song, which, by the way, you're pretty much stealing it, right? We weren't paying anything. We were just getting free music. I would find like 5 songs I wanted to download, and I would download them before bed. And if you woke up the next morning, maybe they were ready. Like, to literally download 5 songs would take you 8 hours. Like, it was insanely slow. But then soon after that came cable internet. And then you could, like, I remember going to a friend's house and I watched him download DSL a song modem. In like 4 seconds. He clicked download song. I think 4 seconds it was downloaded. My mind was like, what the?
Yeah, that switch from 6K to DSL.
Yeah.
That was like the most unreal switch in internet speed. Cause that was at a time where we were all downloading stuff. Yeah. I remember trying to download like a trailer for a Zelda game. And it took me a week and a half on 5K, and it was a 2-minute trailer.
Yeah, it's insane. It was insane. It was rough times, man. Tough times, you know?
For sure.
But hey, first world problems, right? So Napster founder Sean Parker rolled out of bed, sleeping next to Dakota Johnson. They talk. He asks to check his email, gets her computer out, and on there is Facebook. Okay, and he's like, what's this? And she's like, that's Facebook. Well, the twins now go and meet the president of Harvard. Okay,
this scene is hilarious.
They think it is. They think they got all the information they need to get Zuck thrown into Harvard jail for the next 33 years of his life, right? They think they got him. This president could not care at all. Like, this guy's basically like, I don't understand what you're here for. Why are you here? You're rich. That's why you're here. And the president has some very, I don't even know what the right word is. It's the way he turns to his secretary and is kind of like, get a load of these guys over here. And she's like, she is definitely playing along quite well.
Right.
So the meeting, let's just say, does not go well at all. And at this point, Harvard jail is not going to happen for Zuck. And so now they're starting to lean more towards, all right, we got to go legal. And for some reason, time to lawyer up. I don't know why one of the twins was like so against it. You know, one twin was for suing, Divya was for suing. And this one twin, who's apparently the ringleader, you know, he's holding out, and they're like trying to convince him, like, come on, man, let's do it. What are you asking him for?
Seems like there's some sort of, you know, unspoken code of ethics where Harvard men don't sue other Harvard men, you know?
That is true.
Some kind of like ancient principle, like almost founded, because I think Harvard was initially a Catholic or Christian school. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that a lot of their handbook or code book.
You're right. The one holdout twin had mentioned, you know, Harvard men don't do this to other Harvard men. Okay. So, then there's more deposition. Who'd have thunk it? And then we have a meeting with Zuck and the forever young
Monsieur
Andrew
Garfield
with an ad executive. Did you recognize the ad executive?
Was it Sorkin?
Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin. Zuck tanks the meeting. He has very little interest in this. Then they have a dinner with Justin Timberlake, okay? And JT is doing all he can to schmooze these guys. Eduardo's not having it. Zuck's fallen in love. The look on Zuck's face.
He idolizes him.
He would have crawled under that table and done whatever JT wanted at that point. Like, he was all in on Zuck.
He really was.
That's what happens when you're under 21 and getting free drinks. I know Brendan Song was under 21 and she was just getting force fed alcohol at this dinner. I assume the other two might have been. I don't know.
That's actually like one of those moments where I think Jesse Eisenberg did such an incredible job of acting, because he's with Zuckerberg, there's not a lot of emotion. He's a very stiff character. He's very robotic. But yeah, you're right. Even though there's not a lot of emotion in his face or body language, you could tell he's just completely captivated in that scene by Justin Timberlake, and it's all nonverbal. That was really, really fascinating. I thought about that a lot during that scene. I'm like, how is he doing this? Like, how is he showing magnetism towards this character, but then like he also looks dead inside at the same time? But it's quite remarkable.
Yeah, great point. And you can kind of see that Zuck is like the fish on the line. Like, Sean Parker has him hooked, and he knows it. And he's really playing some great mind games, a little manipulation in there, in my opinion. And then as JT is leaving, he turns around and says, if this was true and this happened this way, phenomenal. When he says, drop the just Facebook. It's clean. Oh, yeah. You're damn right it is. That's fantastic advice. I don't know if it happened that way, but I hope it happened that way. And then Eduardo, you find out some weird thing where he was on campus with a chicken. And
this is really funny.
He had, which is great acting by Andrew Garfield. I can never remember his name. Great acting by Andrew Garfield at this point. So basically, he's telling the story about how he had a chicken for a class, like a class or a phoenix. This whole society was trying to get into phoenix or something. He had to bring a chicken with him around campus. And he's in lunchroom and he needs to feed the chicken. So he feeds the chicken. I see nothing wrong with it. I would have probably done the same thing, you know. But he apparently is labeled some kind of chicken terrorist or something. And then there's a coding tournament, almost like early esports event.
Hilarious. Yeah,
and they're, you know, typing away and coding, and hot chicks are like cheering them on. I'm like,
very like, I don't know if you ever watched Silicon Valley, the HBO TV show. It had very, very show's vibes for a minute.
I've seen clips, never seen a whole episode.
That's funny.
And then Zuck kind of follows Sean Parker out to California. So they get a party house, essentially. And lo and behold, Justin Timberlake across the street.
Time to suspend your disbelief for a second. It's pretty
small. Kind of small town do they just move to? I mean, what is this, like Berkeley? Isn't that where they go to? Something like that?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, pretty wild.
So Zuck's, or JT, right across the street. You know, he knocks on the door because they're making so much noise. And
because they ripped their chimney off the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. Of a rented house. JT and Zuck go to a club. This was an interesting scene. Okay. Because one, there's very loud music. And so they did not up the volume of the actors in any way. You could barely hear these two people talking, which I thought was kind of cool. Okay.
It was a great scene.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate clubs. I don't go to clubs. And the reason is because the music is too loud and I'm oftentimes with people I want to talk to. And you just can't talk to anybody at a nightclub, right? True. But in that environment, they still do the best they can. So it's a really cool scene. I really thought this was a really standout scene, in my opinion, just because of the way the audio's done. And you can hear what they say, but you really got to be paying attention. Like, you got to be like reading lips almost, you know? So interesting conversation goes by.
It also continues to build the Sean Parker character as this kind of like, he's like a genius, but he's a terrible influence, you know, and he's also reckless. And eventually it's going to wind up, you know, ending poorly.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of main characters that make an appearance halfway into a film. Something about it, I just love it. Like, I don't agree there from the beginning. Just toss me in dead center. Because JT shows up at minute 57 of a 2-hour movie. Like, we are dead center. Okay. So now after the nightclub scene, we go to the Thames River. Okay. Could not have been more of a polar opposite setting from where we just were, which is like nightclub, very loud. And now we're in the Thames River in England and they're doing their big row competition. Like you said, this is the only time where you see the Winklevoss twins rowing with somebody not named Winklevoss.
Right.
Yeah. And these guys are really going at it. Okay. They lose. Spoiler alert. They lose to some chaps from Cambridge, I can only assume. And these guys really take that loss. They take it real bad, right? And everyone 100%. Just keeps talking about how close that race was. And, oh, my God, it's the closest race I've ever seen. I have no idea. And they make a point. Like, apparently, it's a mile and a half long race. And so, generally, races of that distance don't come down to the wire. Because this was fairly close, like half a link or half a length of a boat. So, fairly close, you know. And now we go back to, oh, actually, during that time when he's out schmoozing, the Winklevoss twins are schmoozing with all the Cambridge elites. Someone makes a comment about the a Facebook in Cambridge, and that's when the Winklevoss twins find out, okay, there's Facebook at Oxford, there's Facebook at Cambridge, and this is where the one holdout twin finally says, the hell with it, let's sue him. Okay, Harvard men apparently do sue other Harvard men. Okay, so now we go back to America. We're back at the party house in California. Things are getting crazy. Eduardo shows up in a downpour that can only be described as biblical. Like the rain that was coming down on that poor guy is just sitting outside the front door, okay? Eduardo shows up at party house, and he's talking with JT, and you can really tell Eduardo and JT do not like each other at all.
Oh, yeah.
So then Zuck makes an appearance. This is one of my favorite things about all the notes I have, okay? Zuck makes an appearance wearing a t-shirt that says Ansley Athletics XXL. Okay. The real Mark Zuckerberg just bought that shirt this week for $4,095.
Wow.
Yeah. At an auction. So it's like a Hollywood memorabilia auction. And that shirt was up and he got it just for fun, obviously. Apparently he went briefly to Ansley High School in his younger years. I don't think he graduated from there. It sounded like he didn't go there very long. But that is the shirt he was wearing, and Zuck now owns it. And I just thought it'd be funny to buy it. I don't blame him. There's an argument between Zuck and Eduardo. At this point, you can kind of tell the relationship's really falling apart. Eduardo's so pissed off, he goes to the bank the next day, goes to Bank of America, and freezes the funds. Okay, so Eduardo's pretty much, up to this point, the entire involvement in Facebook is him just being the financier. He's the one giving $1,000 here, $1,000 there. Man, if I had known $1,000 investment could turn into what it did, Jesus Christ, this is like, it's like buying Bitcoin at a nickel. I mean, this was like, this guy, you know, he put like, I think $2,000 or $3,000, and then he made an $18,000 investment. And that's what allowed them to get the house in California, which they immediately ruined with a new chimney. I'm sure that new chimney probably wiped out all $18,000. And California lands a deal, $500,000 and office space. So he's getting a place to start Facebook. At this point, he has a few interns, and he now has $500,000 investment. Brenda Song shows up at Eduardo's apartment, which is a very humble apartment, we'll say. And she goes absolute bananas. Like, Brenda Song goes full psycho. He tries to give her a gift. She's not having it. She sets it on fire.
And then drops it on his bed.
And then drops it on the bed. Come on, girl. What are you doing? Like, she should absolutely have been arrested for that. They now are getting big. Eduardo has to go back to California and sign some paperwork to cement his place as a shareholder in Facebook, right? Getting like a million shares. I don't even know how many it was. There's a lot. I should have wrote it down.
I think it was 13%, or maybe that initially. Okay, 30 initially,
or,
yeah.
35, one of the two, 30 or 35, yeah.
Yeah,
now more deposition, you know. Of course, there's more deposition. Then they're at the big office. Immediately, they upgrade offices almost immediately. Like, they have the office they got in the deal, and now they're at like Facebook headquarters. So the thing is growing fast, right? They're almost at a million subscribers. Eduardo shows up. This is my favorite scene in the movie. Okay. So Eduardo goes in to sign some more paperwork. Okay. And this is where he finds out that his shares of Facebook have been diluted. Okay. So he went from owning, you know, a million shares of Facebook, probably valued in the millions, we'll say.
Yeah. It goes from 30% to 0.003%.
Yeah. Absolute screw job. Okay. If this happened, that is not good for Mark Zuckerberg. Like, that is a really, really bad look. Okay. But this is one of my favorite scenes of the movie when Forever Young Andrew Garfield absolutely grows a pair and goes out there and just shows his ass. I thought this was a fantastic scene, well acted. You could see the anger in Forever Young's face. And you can just see the smugness of Zuck.
Forever young.
Like, just Zuck, the smug as hell, and JT just sitting there, fly on the wall, you know, just doing his thing. I love JT. Not a big fan of Sean Parker in this movie. Kind of comes off looking like a real douchebag.
Oh, Sean
Okay.
Parker is a complete jerk off. I think JT plays him really well. I mean, it's impossible to like his character at the end of
Yeah.
this.
Agreed. And kudos to JT for being such a well-liked person and taking on such a hated role. No
Yeah.
one's going to come out of there thinking, oh man, let me tell you, Sean Parker looked really good in that movie. Like, ain't nobody thinking that. All right. Sean Parker, yeah, I got down here. JT looks like a douche. Didn't say JT. I should say Sean Parker. Love you, JT. Okay. One of the best SNL hosts, Justin Timberlake. Fantastic.
Really, I need to check
Oh,
that
yeah.
out then.
So it hasn't been on there in a while, but back in the day, you know, early 2000s, middle, you know, 2010s, he was fantastic. After party of, so they get 1 million subscriptions right after Eduardo storms out. They get their 1 million subscription. Now they have a big party, and then they do an after party. Spoiler alert, after party might be the most cramped environment I have ever seen in my life. It
Yeah,
was bonkers. I
they need
mean,
a bigger house.
yeah, for sure, for sure. Or less people. I mean, they like do a camera like pans across the living room, sardines. It reminded me of Breakfast at Tiffany's at her tiny ass apartment.
Oh yeah.
Now all those people were just like in there. Cops get called. Justin Timberlake and some people up there doing cocaine body shots. Cops bust in. They all go to jail. All right, and we finally get the end of the deposition. Rashida Jones pretty much speaks for the first time in the movie, and she's talking to Zuck. And this was a good, you can start to see that the arc of the story start, you know, obviously it's coming down now, and you get the depositions are finally over. Afterward, Zuck gets on Facebook and he looks up Rooney Mara. Okay. I thought this was brilliant because what does he do with, he's down and out, you know, he's about to lose millions of dollars. He's gonna have to pay these people. He's gonna have to pay the Winklevoss twins. He's gonna have to pay Eduardo. He's gonna pay Divya. He's paying all of them. He's just now realizing he ain't gonna win this, and in his despair, he turns to Facebook to follow an ex. Okay, we've all been there, right? And so Mark Zuckerberg sends a friend request to Rooney Mara, and he just sits there refreshing the page to see if she's accepted. How pathetic! Okay, this man went from Zuck to cuck immediately. Okay, we see.
To me, it seems like he never actually hits request or.
No, he did. I rewound it. I rewound it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He does
Yeah,
click
yeah.
it.
Because
Okay.
I at
Interesting.
first I was like, did he? I was like, so I backed it up and watched it again, and he for sure sends the request. And then he just sits there hitting refresh.
And
Just
this is the
waiting.
era where Facebook's not quite yet on phones, traveling around in our
Yeah.
pockets. Like
Right.
she would have had to have been in front of her computer to see this request. So,
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
that's.
Yeah. And that is the end of the film. And as the film is ending, it tells you about the payouts from the lawsuits. Okay, so I did a little research here. Eduardo, obviously undisclosed, but in 2012, he owned 2% of the company valued at $2 billion. The Winklevoss twins, this is a bit misleading because it says in the movie the Winklevoss twins got $65 million. That, from what I can tell, not 100% true because that they split that with Divya. Okay, so the three of them got
Okay.
$65 million. The Winklevoss twins then went on to row crew for the U.S. Olympic team, and they placed sixth place in Beijing
Not
or
bad.
something. Yep. And then they went on to own, do they own part of that pistachio company? What is it? I think that they might own majority of that. What's the big pistachio company? It's like it's a black package with a
I know
green.
exactly what you're talking about. I
Yeah,
don't know what it's called
yeah.
though.
I think they own that. If not, they
Oh,
own
interesting.
part of it. And they're big into Bitcoin. I believe they own a lot of Bitcoin mining facilities. These guys are quite wealthy right now, so good for them. Let's see.
I didn't have pistachios pegged. I did not have
Yeah.
that pegged in the repertoire.
So we don't find out what Eduardo got, although it was 2% in 2012, 2% of the company valued at $2 billion. I sure hope he still owns it because
Yeah.
today, at the time of the movie, it said Facebook was valued at $25 billion. Okay. Well, it has since blown up a little bit. Current evaluation, yeah.
I can't
As of
believe it was that low at 2010.
yeah, as of yesterday, it was valued at $1.479 trillion.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, I
Currently
mean,
the number seven largest company in the world.
it's Instagram, it's Meta Quest.
Meta.
What
Yeah.
a
I
what a
love I love I'm not a huge Facebook guy. I don't use it often. I'll never forget the day I quit, pretty much, where I used to have the app and I was checking it 20, 30, 40 times a day. And then I just wasn't happy with like the mental state. And so I deleted the app. And so then I have to go to the mobile web page, which was such dog shit that I found myself only going two or three times a day. And then it was like two or three times a week, and then two or three times a month. Now I pretty much go on there to on my birthday just to see who said hi. That's a, like, I really just poke into Facebook now about once a year.
That's fair. Get a nice pick-me-up.
Yeah, you know. But, you know, it's I understand it's popular still. And but the thing I like most about Meta right now is the Meta Quest. I have a Meta Quest 2 VR headset, and
I've never
played
that. Yeah.
If once you do, I know you're a big gamer.
Yeah.
I used to be, not so much as the older I get, but I will say this. If you do VR, especially with Meta Quest, you may never go back to 2D gaming, ever. Like, it is so hard.
I've heard it's awesome.
It's so hard to go back. Like to hold a controller and stare at a TV screen and play a sports game or a first-person shooter, I'm thinking, why the hell am I going to do that when I can go put the Meta Quest on?
And they can be the quarterback.
You can be the quarterback. There's a game called 2ND, 2-Minute Drill Football, and you literally, you draw the plays, that they run the routes. Like, it's so good.
That's cool.
There are so many great first-person shooters where you physically point a gun at something, pull the trigger, and then you have to, like, drop the clip, put a new clip in, pull back the slide. I'm like, I can't go back to holding the controller, man. I can't do it.
That makes sense. I mean, that's pretty cool.
It's so good. And there's no cord. I first started with the PSVR. My first VR, you know, headset was PSVR. And I kept stepping on the cord.
Cords everywhere, yeah.
Yeah. And whenever you step on it, it kind of like jerks and it takes you out of the experience. But what the great thing about the Meta Quest is there's no cord at all. You can go in different rooms. I mean, you know, it's obviously it'll take you out of the playing environment, but you can still do it. It's just such a good product. I think good things to say about Meta Quest, Meta Quest cool. 2. I'm looking at Meta Quest 3. But with that said, that is the entire recap of this phenomenal film known as The Social Deposition.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I thought 6 pages of notes, Tab hated this movie, but no, I think it's just a really well-paced, like you said, tight, almost feels like a thriller, even though, you know, maybe that's the music that just drives that tension home. But it's also, you know, a kind of character exploration of Zuckerberg, and like his kind of walking the line between obsession and motivation. That's like one of the first things that Rooney Mara says to him, his girlfriend, in the first scene, is like, there's a difference between being obsessed and being motivated. And he's like, yeah, you're right, there is. And, you know, he is obsessed with this idea of making Facebook as big as possible. And by the end of the movie, he's broken every single relationship he has in the film, you know, in such a grandiose fashion that he owes most of them millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, even though the Rooney Mara character is fictionalized, like that was created for the film. And they're pretty open about that, like in the opening of the film and everything. They didn't hide that fact. I thought it was really interesting, you know, that in the movie, Facebook is started like with this like animosity, like post, just like shit posting another person. Because that's kind of what social media has become, at least in my mind. I'm not on social media anymore. I haven't been in a few years. I'll probably actually open up an Instagram account for this podcast and maybe a TikTok or something. But like, I don't have a personal one. And I haven't had one in quite some time, just because my feed was constantly, to be frank, it wasn't a lot of people I knew. It was people like in the media, journalists and stuff, just posting negative stuff about other people, whether it was celebrities or, you know, other people in the industry and stuff. So
that's where I got off too. It was poison. My feed was poison. It was just people bitching about everything and yelling at each other and just bickering. And I was like, man, I this ain't good for me.
Yeah, like, and the last one I had, I was like you. I was checking it way too often. I would find myself checking it even when I would open up Twitter, and I wouldn't even hardly look at it. It was just like habitual. You know, I'd have it in my hand on my phone, and it's almost like a security crutch or something. So I was just like, dude, I don't want that. So I deleted it and been like 2 years off of it and haven't even thought about it since, except for on you know, times when I'm talking about it on like on a podcast like this.
Yeah, how do you feel? How does it make you feel?
Dude, honestly, I don't feel anything about it. I really don't.
But do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I like that I don't spend my time on my phone nearly as much. My screen time's gone so much down, and I haven't really put this together. But last year, I read 25 books, and I wonder if that's because I just wasn't on my phone as much. But Because like previously, my book reads are usually between like 10 and 5 to 10, you know.
A year?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Usually that's where I'm at. But last year I was at 25, so.
I've read one book my whole life, cover to cover.
I hardly believe that, but.
It's true.
Okay.
Born Standing Up by Steve Martin. Took me a year.
I bet that's a great book. I want to check that one out. Would you recommend it?
Don't remember a thing about it. Sure. I'm sure I've still got it somewhere. I'll let you have it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I never really enjoyed it. Honestly, I can read. I choose not to.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I was a journalism degree major. I can read. Like, I know how to read. I can write, you know? And I just never really enjoyed it. And even in school, when I had to read for class, I would skip paragraphs. Like, read a paragraph, skip a paragraph. Read a paragraph, skip a paragraph.
What a great trade-off.
You can read it half the time.
You probably honestly get a pretty good understanding of most stuff that way.
You do. You know, you really...
I don't know why I like reading so much. I've always read ever since I was a kid. Mostly, I think it's because my mom made me. Like, she let me and my brother play video games for 30 minutes every other day. And then she'd like make us read for 30 minutes a day as well. So kind of a strict schedule. I fell in love with it. So, cool. Well, let's talk about, I mean, as far as historical context in this, on this film, I'm not really sure where we can place this historically, except for that, as far as a biopic goes, I can't think of one that's as dramatized in an entertaining fashion as this, that moves at a brisk, like, tight pace. And I think it may be influential in that way. I don't know that it necessarily has like, other films that look to it as an influence, but more films probably should, in my opinion.
Yeah, solid film. Enjoy it.
Yes. Is there anything that didn't work for you in this movie?
Not a thing.
Yeah, I kind of agree, man. I consider this an extremely, really good. It's actually fun to rewatch too, which is weird. You know, it's probably been 5-6 years since I've seen it. This is maybe my third time watching it, and man, I liked every single minute of it. Do you think it's going to hold up 30 years from now?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, there's no special effects. It's just the story for sure. It'll hold up.
Yeah, I think Fincher's films are unique to, they all have a certain style. Like I can pick out a Fincher film if I see maybe like a minute of it. And it seems like all of his movies are, it's almost like the film is tinted.
Yeah.
It looks like, what do you call it? Like 35 millimeter, but it's not necessarily. It's got like a yellowish tint to it though. Yeah. And a lot of them have like a certain sound to them as well. He's just really good at making like tension in his movies. Yeah. I think it'll hold up. And I think that, you know, 15 years from when it was made, the conversation around, you know, these Silicon Valley billionaires has not, you know, it's not like that still isn't capturing the imagination of America. So I don't see why it won't in the future as well.
Yeah. And Zuck will probably still be alive. I mean, he's still a young guy.
Yeah. He looks young.
Know. It's weird to see that you see a biopic on a guy and then 15 years later, he's still young. It's like, man,
yeah.
They got this movie out quick.
That's true.
They weren't messing around. That's well, the you depositions know, back, ended and the screenwriting began.
And in 2010, you know, he's the youngest billionaire of all time. So that was a while. And I'm sure he's been replaced multiple times since then. I'm not sure by who. But who stole the show for you in this movie? I think the movie's acted so well. Every person in it. Even the Winklevoss's partner, I cannot remember that guy's name for whatever reason, but he did a great job too.
Yeah.
Like all the peripheral characters are awesome.
Yeah, they really got some great performances out of everyone. Who stands out? I mean, I think Forever Young really did a good job. He had some scenes that really stole the show, and I think Eisenberg did a fantastic job. Like I said from the beginning, you know, at first I didn't really appreciate his Zuck impression, but I think in hindsight he did a really good job.
Yeah, this made me an Eisenberg fan. I had seen one movie from him before, Squid and the Whale, and I liked that a lot. But he wasn't necessarily like the star of that movie. He just was a character in it. And yeah, man, he's just a powerhouse in this movie. And Andrew Garfield, absolutely. I think if he wasn't nominated for Best Supporting Actor, I feel like he should have been.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for our final segment, what would you give this movie out of 5 stars?
You know, when I was thinking about this week, I was going between 4 and 5. Okay. So I'm going to settle on 4.5. 4.5 stars.
I am also going to give it a 4. I'm going to give it a 4 for now. It may be a 5. I have a hard time giving a 5 to a biopic, but if there was a biopic that gets a 5, it's this one, you know? I would really have to sit with this one some more. It might be a 5. I genuinely can't think of anything that's wrong with it. It's just a 5 to me has to have like something working with it on like every single level. And yeah, I don't know, maybe it is. I'll give it a 4 for now. A 4, yeah. But it's a strong 4.
So I was at 4 most of the week.
Yeah.
I was going between 4, like to a 4 to a 5. I thought of a 4.5, never crossed my mind until it crossed my lips. Okay? Right now. I was right there at 4 all week, but then when it came time to say it, like I really felt like it needed a little bit more than a 4, and maybe I'll even go 4.25 stars.
Hey, there you
but,
go.
You know, but I'll stick with 4.5. I thought it was really good. No complaints. You know, would recommend. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, paced extremely well. And Aaron Sorkin, great writer. The only thing I've known about him from West Wing, I never saw the West Wing, but I saw some parodies of the West Wing, and it was very like fast talk, walk with me, and while they're walking.
Yeah.
They're having this like great back and forth banter with zero like space in between them. No one thought about something. They knew what they were going to say. They said it. It's very fast paced, very well written. So I really enjoyed it. The dialogue was great. The acting was fantastic. It's just everything about it spoke to me. It's a home run. Yeah.
I am right there with you, man. Yeah. That is all the time we have here today, but you can write into us at blasttothepastcast@gmail.com. You can tell us what you think. You can suggest what we watch in the future on a future episode. Thanks so much. Tell us what you think about The Social Network, and we will see you next time.
Bye.